servers. The fragility of the alliance was apparent even while the war was raging. An inter-allied dialogue on post-war Germany started in mid-1943, when the defeat of the Third Reich, though some time in the hazy future, was judged to be inevitable. In October, a deceptively constructive meeting of Allied foreign ministers in Moscow, Cordell Hull for the United States, Anthony Eden for Britain, and Vyacheslav Molotov for the Soviet Union, led to the creation of a three-power European Advisory Commission, or EAC, to be based in London. America and Russia were represented on the commission by their respective ambassadors, John Wynant and Fyodor Gusev, while the British case was put by Sir William Strang, a long-time government advisor on international affairs. Their brief was prescribed by decisions already made at top level, that Germany should submit to unconditional surrender, affirmed by President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill in January 1943 at their Casablanca conference, and subsequently endorsed by Joseph Stalin, was justified as a means of forestalling any inclination, east or west, to negotiate a separate peace. The absence of any flexibility in bringing the war to an end carried with it the message that a defeated Germany would have no say in managing its internal affairs. Unconditional surrender equated with the surrender of sovereignty. It would be up to the Allies to tell the Germans how to run their lives. But this was to assume that the Big Three could agree on what they wanted for Germany. At no point was this seriously in prospect. The best that the EAC could come up with was a formula for partitioning of Germany into occupation zones under military government, with no conditions on the length or terms of occupation. Matters of joint interest were to be settled by an Allied Control Council, comprising the commanders-in-chief with their deputies. Berlin was to have its own Inter-Allied Governing Authority, or Kommandatura. These arrangements, so neat and tidy on paper, came with a list of open-ended questions, not least the fixing of the lines of demarcation for the occupation and access to Berlin, which was likely to be in the Soviet zone. The assumption by the Western Allies was of free and open transit to the German capital, but the Russians refused to be tied down. Strang noted a disturbing tendency for his EAC Soviet counterpart, in his own words a grim and rather wooden person, to haggle over insignificant details. In putting this down to bloody-mindedness, he failed to recognize the Soviet tactic of playing for time while the advancing Red Army tightened its grip on the territories it occupied. With his innate distrust of communism in general, and of Stalin in particular, Churchill had a clearer idea of what was going on. But priding himself as a realist, he acknowledged Stalin's obsession with security, his own and that of his country. The Soviet leaders resolved to surround Russia with states directly controlled by or submissive to the Kremlin was on a par with his need to be surrounded by underlings of unquestionable loyalty. Given Russia's sacrifice in defeating Nazism, with close on 9 million military and 17 million civilian deaths, Stalin expected more than a share of Germany and was in prime position to get it. Hence, Churchill's infamous percentages offer to Stalin, exchanging Russian control of Romania and Bulgaria for British ascendancy in Greece, leaving Hungary and Yugoslavia to be split evenly. This did not go down well in Washington, where President Roosevelt, my very good friend, as Churchill liked to call him, was of another school of diplomacy. Having served his political apprenticeship in the Great War, he was imbued with the idealism of Woodrow Wilson. The failure of the League of Nations, Wilson's brainchild, only made Roosevelt more determined to create a new world order based on mutual trust. This was far distant from Churchill's credo, practical or cynical according to taste, that the only way to keep the peace was to engineer a balance of power between leading nations, enabling each...